the Koshcast, hoping not to get banned for stamping on your ears. We start this week with the ever-romantic FA Cup, in which Millwall managed to be racist, injure Harry Kane, and pop Vincent Janssen's cherry in one afternoon. Manchester United try to bully Chelsea and find that they can't after Herrera's error, Arsenal find their level, and Manchester City make Pep so happy. Elsewhere, there's a few Premier League games to discuss featuring Bournemouth, Everton and Liverpool, and a brilliant weekend of shenanigans across Europe. Inter beat Atalanta at a canter, Juve Milan on their feet, and Real Madrid inch closer to La Liga title after Betis can't decide between zonal and man-marking and choose to do neither. Moomoo of the week, a quick quiz, and Toronto FC's exploits in Philadelphia are also involved. Push the button. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex and I've got Mohamed and Roche with me looking very dapper.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I look great.
Why are you looking at your phone though?
Well, I have the agenda on my phone actually.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I'm just moving to the 21st century, you know, making everything electronic.
Very nice. I mean, not as electronic as Bernie who's missing, but he has a, a Google Watch?
Yeah, he's got one of those. It's really bad because, like, when he looks at it to see what time it is, it looks like he's in a hurry to leave the conversation.
Right. He probably is, though.
He is, yeah.
Mohamed, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Great. It's daylight savings time, or daylight, whatever, losing.
Daylight losing.
Yeah, daylight losing time.
Because we lost an hour.
Yes, that makes sense. And it felt great to leave work in the sun, like before sundown.
Right.
It just felt so nice.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Well, Mohamed will have more energy than usual, so that's good.
that's bad.
This week, we're not going to start with the quiz. We're going to start with the FA Cup, get right into it, and we'll do the quiz a bit later on.
Yeah, sure.
Which I'm looking forward to. But why don't we start with the latest news, which came from Stamford Bridge. Chelsea 1, Manchester United 0. Roche, as our resident Manchester United fan, what do you make of it?
Well, we expected to lose this game, to be fair, with Ashley Young in the starting lineup.
That's all it takes.
I have to say, as a Manchester United fan, seeing Ashley Young's name in the lineup now reminds me of the anxiety I felt when Van Gaal was manager.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think 1-0 was a very fair scoreline.
Yeah.
I mean, Chelsea could have made it 4 or 5. You know, United played with 10 men for the majority of the match.
At the beginning of the game, you guys had a lot of injuries too. Like Zlatan is suspended, Martial and who else was injured? Rashford was apparently ill.
Rooney's fat.
Rashford was ill and might not have started. I think he started him like because he had to at that point. But he did look good, Rashford. Rashford is a very good player.
Yeah, no, he's great. I mean, there were people on Twitter during the game saying, you know, he should start every week. I'm not sure about that. I mean, you've got Zlatan scoring 26 goals in a season. There's not too much you can do. And Martial on the left and what have you. But Rashford is exciting to watch every time you see him. And it was nice. And I think Mourinho said something about him putting himself on the line to play this game. And you know how Mourinho always loved it when a player plays despite being injured?
Yeah.
He absolutely loves that.
Well, I think Rashford was definitely a wild card in that respect for the team selection today. But Chelsea still can't pay... completely outworked United in the middle of the park. I think there was a quote earlier this season when these two sides met and Chelsea won that match that Kante had gone home to his village with 89 million in his back pocket.
Oh yeah, well he's just doubled his money. So
yeah,
true.
He dominated the whole midfield on his own. I mean, Matic is great and everything, and yeah, he keeps the ball moving, but Kante is everywhere. He was, even after the red card, you think, okay, this is one of those where, okay, well, Kante's not needed anymore, kind of bring on a Cesc, let's say. But no, Kante was still very good going forward, very creative, helped move the ball along, and eventually scored the goal.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're actually seeing Kante add to his game. I mean, he was in a midfield two last season and won the Premier League with Leicester, and clearly was a major part of that. And then this season, he's actually improved. Now he's popping up on the right, he's popping up on the left. He's just literally everywhere.
He's ubiquitous.
He is ubiquitous. He's like, you know, remember on Pro Evolution, or Winning 11, depending on where you lived in the world.
Or FIFA.
No, Winning 11.
Oh, okay.
When you could create your own player.
Yeah.
And you could either make them like really tall or really short, and you'd put all the stats to 99 or whatever. Kante is like that.
Apparently his next FIFA stats, fitness-wise, are going to be incredible. Like, when I play with him now on FIFA 17, it's like... you know how those bars are always like down by the end of the game? Kante's is like at 75%. He's like chilling. Anyways, Hazard looked really good this game.
Oh, yes,
from
did.
An attacking point of view. The thing, this game kind of encapsulated Hazard's season, which is he looks really good. He's very influential. He creates a lot of chaos. He's so good for this Chelsea side. but he doesn't have the stats when you just kind of look at it from that perspective. So
right.
once he adds that, then he would have an incredible season, but it's still not there just because of that.
I have to argue that point. I think Hazard has done a lot this season, to be fair. This game, yeah, maybe he was a little off, but still, like, he had some incredible touches where he lost his man. I think Smalling was, you know, out fishing for one of Hazard's turns. Hazard had some good chances. De Gea had some good saves as well, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, De Gea had a couple of really, like, world-class saves, one of which kind of stopped Hazard from scoring what would have been one of the goals of the season, where he turned, I forget who it was,
It was Smalling. He was
Smalling,
out fishing.
Then yeah. dribbled past another two players, and his shot was going in, so that would have been incredible. But let's talk about Hazard and his relationship to Manchester United in this game, because Jones was man-marking him to start with.
Yep.
And let's be honest, Mourinho told him to go out there and kick him off the park. It reminded me of that game, United against Arsenal, and whenever it was, when it was Fergie and Antonio Reyes.
Oh, yeah. 04-05, I believe.
04-05.
Yeah, something like that. And the instructions were very obviously just kick him off the park.
Yeah.
It was the same today. And on the one hand, you might think, that is one legitimate way to try and deal with Eden Hazard. On the other, it resulted in Herrera getting sent off.
Yeah. I mean, the ref clearly has pointed out after the foul before that the next person to foul Hazard is going to get a yellow. Like, he basically just told everyone, don't foul Hazard anymore, because at this point it's ridiculous,
yeah.
right? And then Herrera, who is already on a yellow, well, first he let Hazard turn him so easy, and then he was really lazy with his tackle. He just stuck out a foot, and I don't know. Herrera, for me, you know what I feel about him. I don't like him at all. I don't think he's very good. But, you know.
Yeah, you know, without looking at or hearing about the referee's warning specifically, I looked at that foul and I thought, well, that's a little soft to give a second yellow in 35 minutes, you know. But with all those warnings,
it's
maybe
persistent.
It was justified.
Yeah, it was persistent against Hazard for sure.
That's the thing, and it didn't even end there. I mean, Rojo stamped on him later on.
Yep.
I mean, it just didn't end for Hazard, and he was brilliant anyway.
I gotta say though, that one chance where Rashford absolutely turned Cahill inside out, like
yeah.
Cahill was gone, he might as well have left at that point. He was brilliant. Yeah.
It was brilliant, and it was a brilliant save. But what I really loved about what Rashford did there is that he's right-footed,
and he went on his
and
left.
And he went on his left because
yeah.
it was the thing to do. And he, you know, so many players would have manufactured it so that they ended
yeah.
up on their right foot.
You know who does that a lot? Lukaku does that a lot. He goes on his right whenever he wants.
I thought he was left-footed.
No, yeah,
no,
but
that's the point.
And then
yeah.
he goes on his right whenever he wants. So during the game, Mourinho had a bit of a back and forth. Well, one with Conte, one with the
yeah.
Chelsea fans, the refs.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah,
yeah. And I made a comment, you know, towards the end. I think there were 20 minutes left in this game when I said, you know what, guys? I just hope that Mourinho in the post match says, you know, that the better team won and it was not our day. But, you know, unfortunately, there was a lot of back and forth with
I mean,
the
Alex,
fans.
You got a comment that Mourinho said here after the game.
Yeah, he didn't say that United deserved to win. He didn't say that Chelsea didn't deserve to win. But what he did say was, Michael Oliver is a referee with fantastic potential. But
yeah.
in four matches, three penalties and one red card. So, you know, he's getting his, like, there's an agenda against
yeah,
me
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Michael
but,
Oliver doesn't like United.
Yeah,
yeah.
but
that's
as far as he went, yeah.
And that's what I don't want to hear, because you've been hearing, oh, you know, Manchester United has changed Jose Mourinho. He's been different this season. But, you know, with that kind of stuff, I who knows what's going to happen over the next couple
of days. He will
days.
Always protect his players. He'll never say it's their... I mean, that's what he does. He deflects attention. But at the end of the day, Chelsea, to be fair, also United have played so much. They were in Russia recently in the Europa League. I mean, the fatigue, the injuries, that all didn't help. And the fact that United came away with 1-0 with a red card in the first half shows a lot. I mean, you've seen examples in the week where... You know, Arsenal, they conceded a red card, and it's, oh, well, we conceded a red card, so we lost, you know, we shipped five more goals.
Yeah.
But you look at
Although
United...
Although they were already about 20-0 down.
Yeah, true. Because of another, you know. But
to be fair, there were some clear-cut chances. You know, I think a hair's breadth away from Costa's knee, 2-0.
Mm.
An open header from, Marcus Alonso or Fabregas.
True,
yeah.
true.
Although
Pogba
had a couple of chances, too. I mean, it could have...
Oh, Pogba.
Yeah.
Oh, he was playing today?
Hey.
Oh, nice. Okay,
shots
wide. So that's Chelsea to Wembley.
No, in the semifinals.
Yeah,
Wembley.
Oh, that's
they
right.
changed that now. It's,
that sucks.
I know.
It is rubbish.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees it's rubbish, and they're just going to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but
anyway.
Except their pockets. Their
why
pockets
did they, why,
it's
oh,
weird.
Yeah, because
yeah.
of attendance.
Yeah.
yeah.
Who are they playing? Let's do it that way. Chelsea are going to play
Tottenham.
Tottenham, because they beat Millwall 6-0.
Yeah.
This game was kind of built up as it's going to be feisty and the fans are going to get at it and blah, blah, blah. And then
yeah.
Millwall showed up and their keeper was in pink and nothing really happened.
The keeper did look like a cupcake.
He did.
The fans were very feisty.
Yes.
Millwall fans are
Did you see the Spurs fans that got absolutely decked in the face after the game?
Yeah. Brilliant. No, you don't want to go anywhere near the Millwall fans. But the team themselves were absolute shite. I mean, to be fair, they're unbeaten in 18 games in the Championship, which is brilliant.
Sure.
Well done. Well, Championship and FA Cup.
No pun intended, unbeaten. Given the fact that they're fans.
Okay.
I have to explain that.
We'll take it.
Yeah. But Tottenham just absolutely destroyed them. Despite losing Kane quite early on.
Kane got injured, 10 minutes in? You know, Kane always does this thing where, oh my god, injury scare, and then in a week he's back, so that will probably happen again. But then Son came on and just dominated the game, scored a hat-trick.
Well, he was already on.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Who came on then?
Eriksen.
Oh, wow. Okay, I thought Son came on.
Damn Son? It.
My agenda. My Son agenda.
The second goal of this game was Heung-min Son's left-footed curler that made him look like Arjen Robben.
Yeah, Coughlin let him in on his left. And then he curled it into the corner.
Yes.
Also, Eriksen had a great game when he came on. I mean, he assisted two goals. Eriksen is just class, to be honest.
To be fair, there was also some shocking defending by Millwall.
Agreed.
But what I loved most about Son's hat-trick was that the Millwall fans were getting all racist about him.
Oh, yeah?
They were calling him DVD and singing he's selling 3 for a fiver and stuff like that. And this is obviously not the first time at all with Millwall. They've got a reputation for this. And the club will get fined or what have you. But there was a lovely response from Son to get a hat-trick.
Part of that is racist. Part of it is that Spurs just released so many DVDs that it's like they maybe were just referencing that. You know, like
but
you gotta
only
give it
with him.
Yes.
Right.
Benefit of the doubt. All right. So that's Spurs versus Chelsea at Wembley. That's one of the semifinals. The other one.
Wait. Sorry.
Yeah.
Janssen scored a goal.
Oh, okay.
He
of
did.
Course.
Yeah.
It was actually a good finish.
It was a very good finish. Yeah. And he followed it up a minute later with a miss from a header from 3 yards out.
Yeah.
You know.
It's his first goal in 16 or something from open play?
From open play, yeah.
City played Middlesbrough. They beat them comfortably 2-0.
So boring.
City are looking really good now.
Yeah.
I mean, they went through that wobbly phase where Aguero was out and Jesus was playing. And now Aguero's back looking really good. He's running more. I mean, we saw the stats recently. He's running. He's added a kilometer to his average. And this is average. It's not just
I think someone just bought him a Fitbit.
I'm just saying. My complaint was he wasn't running. He wasn't in the team. He was just sitting there trying to finish. And now he's running a kilometer more on average, blah, blah, blah. And that's good.
You know, I mean, when I watch City, I don't really like it. I think there's too much of a mechanical Turk going on.
Well, Pep, that's what Pep does.
A mechanical Turk?
What's a Turk?
Oh, it's just everyone kind of gets replaced, you know, and everyone's...
Well, it's a system
piece
that anyone can play in.
Yeah, basically.
Isn't that exactly the point of a football team, is to have a system that anyone can slot into?
I mean,
all right, City are looking extremely Gundam-like.
These are all army stuff. Yeah. But no, to be fair, that's what Pep does, though. I mean, you can play Sané, you can play Sterling, you can play Nolito, you can play anyone, and they will all still look the same. But again, Sané has been incredible for City.
Oh, he's been fantastic.
He just burst of form.
He's been all right.
He's been fantastic.
No, I think he's been okay.
He's 20 years old, mate.
That's the mechanical Turk.
Okay.
And what else?
So, Brad Guzan was in goal for Middlesbrough. I had no idea he played for them. He just showed up. He was brilliant. He made 8 or 9 very good saves.
Oh, this could have definitely been way more than 2-0.
He is good. He's good, yeah.
I don't think he is, though. That's why I was surprised.
I mean, I thought he was done football, to be fair.
Yeah, well, yeah. I just had no idea what had happened to him. But Pep... It was a bit funny after the game. Some of this is just language stuff, but I enjoyed this quote. When you attack good, you defend good. We want to play in this way. Claudio made a good performance, and that is why we are able to have another clean sheet. I like to work with these guys. I'm so happy.
And this is why I can't stand City.
Why?
Why is Claudio Bravo being singled out?
Because he's
been the worst signing to date so far.
To be fair,
he's been utter shite.
He did start him in the league last game. I don't know why.
Did he? Yeah, he did.
Huh. I saw him on the field. I was like, oh, okay. I thought, you know, he lost his spot. But that's what Pep's doing. Pep knows Bravo is still his better keeper out of the two. So he was eventually going to bring him back. It's just he took him out of the firing line for a little bit. Now he's bringing him back. He's playing a bit better. And, you know, that's how you do it.
The firing line, or the line where you save the shots that are fired at you?
The goal line.
Yeah.
It's good man management. Anyway, City are going to be playing Arsenal, who beat Lincoln City, the mighty Lincoln City, 5-0 at the Emirates. Arsene Wenger finally Gonna keep his job now.
Hold on, guys. This is
finally.
This was a full strength Arsenal side.
Yeah.
Yes. Full. Absolutely.
You can't
full.
Risk anything.
Ozil came on with 10 minutes because Ox got injured, of course.
Yeah. Sorry. Arsenal did make the change that Arsenal make, which is Gibbs for Monreal.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And Gibbs was horrendous in the first. I mean, Arsenal were horrendous in the first half against Lincoln City. Lincoln City had the better chances. They looked much better. Then Arsenal scored with like a minute to go at the end of the first half. And then everyone calmed down a little bit. But obviously, it's because the atmosphere around the club is very toxic right now. I mean, we've seen before the Bayern Munich game, before this Lincoln game, there's a lot of Wenger out protests. There's rumors that there's going to be one of those planes, West Brom, next week.
Yes.
So, it's a very toxic atmosphere. And players like Ramsey, Walcott, and Per, Mertesacker, they just can't handle that kind of thing.
What would you, if you were doing the plane, what message would you put?
Oh, that's good. I mean, it would be either like hashtag Wenger out or...
Oh, that's boring.
But what about that other banner they have? Thanks for the memories, but it's time to say goodbye. But that would cost a lot of money.
It would.
How about this club
probably
is,
per letter.
I got a good one. How about this club is as toxic as the radioactive boars in Fukushima?
Good shout.
I mean,
very
again, expensive.
Topical.
But what about like it's Arsenal FC, not Arsen FC? I like that one.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Clever.
I did see there was a picture going around online and it just said, you know, when the camera, you're watching a game, the camera pans to the manager and then a little thing comes up telling you who he is.
Yeah.
So it came up and it just said, Arsene Wenger, Arsenal manager. And the tweet said, to this day, it still just looks like a translation.
Oh, yeah, true. Or like, fix your zipper, Arsene. Something. Anyways, so again, the Arsenal players did start quite shaky. But then in the second half, obviously, Lincoln got so tired. You could just see they were taking water breaks. They were like, they were exhausted.
Well, the number two player, Wood, for Lincoln, was particularly shambolic.
How much shambles would a Wood shambles?
Shambles could shambles Wood.
But he was pretty much a tree in his own box. I think six Arsenal players were in their box at one point in time, and no one had any pressure on him.
It was Giroud goal.
It was like a rondo. They were just passing the ball around in the box.
No, Walcott gave it to Sanchez, and Sanchez gave it to Bellerin, and Bellerin gave it to Giroud. And like, it was as if they were passing at the halfway line. But Ozil was brilliant. He was man of the match. He hasn't played in a long time. Just saying.
Found his level.
Found his level.
I don't know if you can. I mean, you got to take that with a pinch of salt because
obviously.
Lincoln was shambolic. I mean,
sure.
Ozil was literally jogging into the box.
How did.
Unchallenged.
Yeah, but here's a question for you, though. How did Pogba do against Blackburn earlier in the season?
Okay, but you can't compare Blackburn with a non league team.
It's Pogba's double the price of Ozil.
I don't know.
That makes no sense.
Sure. Does it make any difference?
Did he even start that game?
I'm just bagging on Pogba. Anyways, quite the straightforward win there. Arsenal playing City in the semifinals.
Yeah, it's over right there.
Yeah, it's done. City will be in the final against probably Chelsea. Yeah.
I don't know. Spurs are good at like...
Spurs are really good, but not at Wembley.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not European, though.
No, sure. Yeah. But at Wembley, without Kane... Without Kane and Chelsea just...
Why is that? Is he suspended?
No, he's injured. Well, assuming he's still injured. The question is this, though. I mean, if the top four end up being, you know, it's Chelsea, Spurs, City, Arsenal, you know, when was the last time that the last four in the FA Cup were the top four in the league? Because FA Cup have, like, that random, you know, Wigan in there.
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
That's a good question to ask Opta Joe, because I'm sure that someone's working on that stat.
Or Squawkwa, or whatever it's
called. Lord Squawkwa. But, like, a lot of people are going, oh, it'd be good. Like, we need one of the underdogs to win, like, Millwall or Lincoln, so that the semi-finals aren't all big teams. It's like, yeah, but they would just get... absolutely battered by someone.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Well, I mean, I was thinking the opposite. I was hoping Chelsea would win so that we have only top teams. So which happened, which is great.
Yeah.
You know,
elitist.
Yeah.
It's nice not to see Millwall in the final like they were in 04, and now there's a Cristiano Ronaldo versus Millwall. Like, that's his best performance.
You know, I knew that final would be so shit that I decided to play tennis instead of watch it.
Oh, wow, that's how bad it was.
Yeah, it was just like, that's the point. It's like, it's romantic, but no.
Yeah, no.
Context, I was talking about a YouTube clip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sure.
If anyone hasn't heard of YouTube, go and check that out.
Undercastblog at youtube.com.
Yes.
In the meantime, why don't we do the quiz?
All right, so we're going to do the quiz in a different location this week, but still fun nonetheless.
And still here at this table.
And
yes,
still here.
The same location, in fact.
Yes. This week, it's the Bixente Quizarazu.
Nice. Legend.
Wow.
Left back.
Yes.
I'm now deaf.
Alex, remind people you're buzzing. And Rishay. Well done. Okay, so take your time. Answer these questions.
No.
Here we go. Question number one. Barca and Madrid have dominated La Liga, but which team has the third most titles? Guess, Alex.
Valencia.
No.
Real Sociedad.
Wow. No.
Wow.
Come on. It's literally the third best team in Spain right now.
Fuck off.
Alex.
No!
Sevilla.
No!
I'm going to go Madrid.
Yes!
Ah! Wait, you got me there.
Sure, I'm sorry. Okay, extra point.
Literally the third best team in Spain right now. It's Sevilla.
Not by the table. Oh my god.
Extra point for how many? Come close. Yes.
Six.
No. 18.
Okay, it was 10. You're both so far off. All right.
I won that.
Sure. Question number what? You got like 8 away. He got 4. It's very
But I have to say what?
Sure. Question number 2. Again, this is the closest wins, okay? Because you won't know the answer. How many different nationalities have scored in the Premier League? This is kind of one of those interview questions.
Sure. I'll let Rishay guess first.
Okay.
150.
Okay. Alex? You just need to go 149 or 151.
No, that's rubbish.
I know. But take a guess.
80.
Oh, nice. It's 96. Mkhitaryan being the latest addition. Armenia.
Right.
Okay.
Racism.
Question number 3. 37 goals is the record for most scored in a single Eredivisie season, which stood since 1980. Who scored it?
As in, this happened in 1980.
Yes, and it's still the record. Alex.
Marco van Basten.
Yes, good stuff.
Old Dutch guy.
All right, yeah, exactly. That's why I put the 1980
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
Last but not least, which three Swedes have won the EPL Player of the Month award? Rishay.
Freddy Ljungberg.
Correct. Alex.
Olof Melberg.
Nope.
Clearly Henrik Larsson.
Nope.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yes. One more. Played for Bolton.
Jesper Gronkjær.
Nope.
No.
Played for Bolton.
Sorry, he was Bolton.
Up top. Striker. This rhymes with Salamander.
Johan Elmander.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Well done.
Fair enough. Rhymes with Salamander.
I got all three of those.
Alright, well, let's go to the Premier League now. A few games took place this weekend. Not many, so we'll do this quickly. But let's start on the South Coast. Bournemouth 3, West Ham 2. This was mental.
This was the best game of the weekend.
Yes.
And I think Bournemouth actually missed two penalties and were down 2-0.
No, they weren't down 2-0, but they did miss two penalties.
Yes. You're half right.
Of course.
But King missed one. Then Afobe missed one.
Yeah.
Which is like the worst I've ever seen. And then King got a hat-trick. So... it all works
well, that's
out.
The thing, yeah, King got hat-trick at the end. But again, Bournemouth are now two positive results in a row. The 1-1 draw with United, and then this win against West Ham, which I think, Alex, you were saying was what?
It's their first Premier League win against a London team.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But West Ham are like up and down, and Andy Carroll played, and usually when Andy Carroll plays...
Yeah,
you
he's
think
the up bit.
He's the up bit, and then you got the Lanzini on the down bit. But yeah, I mean, they Bournemouth... it's weird because they have a lot of injuries. They have suspension. They lost Ake to, you know, going back to Chelsea.
Who he hasn't played for since.
Yes. But it's absolutely one of those where they just needed, I guess, backup for Alonso or something. But, you know, do you think they're going to stay up? Because they aren't in a kind of a relegation fight, but the points aren't that far. So they could easily get sucked into it.
Yeah, no, I think Bournemouth easily will stay up. I think they've shown good quality, good class, and a bit of fighting attitude as well, as we saw in this game.
Eddie Howe seems to be doing an okay job, so...
Yeah, I think to me they and Middlesbrough are diametrically opposed. They're both just out of the relegation zone, I think, or a borough in it now. I can't remember.
Mm.
But point is, Bournemouth can attack brilliantly. They scored a lot of goals, but they can't defend. So if they can stay up, which I think they will, and then get some defenders and a bit more organisation, they should be a mid-table team next season. Whereas Borough can do the opposite. They defend quite well, but if they can stay up and then add some attackers, they'll also be alright.
Well, it's weird because usually if you give a newly promoted team the option, usually you go with a strong defense to kind of stay in the Premier League. But Bournemouth seem to be doing it kind of the opposite a bit. A few surprise results here and there, you know, beating Liverpool, drawing United. So that helps too. I mean, that's a massive 4 points that they didn't account for example.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Liverpool beat Burnley, which was a big surprise seeing Liverpool's form against the lesser teams, let's say.
Yeah, well, they beat Arsenal 3-1 in their previous match. So we can start on that note. Well, but I think Burnley actually started this game on the hot foot.
On the hot foot, yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, on the front foot.
On the front foot, that's right.
It sounds like James Brown would have said.
On the hot foot.
James Brown.
Wow.
Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley.
Ashley Barnes with a barnstorming goal.
Really good goal.
Great side foot.
Yeah.
Lovely.
You wouldn't think he would be able to hit a barn door.
Oy.
Yeah. But yeah, Liverpool then came back and Klopp was extremely happy at the end of the game saying this is the kind of game that he saw them lose a lot this season. When they're not playing well, they're playing the lesser teams who, he said, I think, paraphrasing here, come with a plan. Which, you know, it's not disrespectful. It's something they should do.
Yeah. Which is what, really? I mean, everyone has a plan, like a game plan. What's he really saying?
Yeah. Ha ha. They had a plan.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Yeah, true.
No, they had a plant. They came here. Plant a tree in the soil.
But then, I think we wanted to talk about Chan. And ooh. Chan's goal was brilliant.
It was a sumptuous strike, but it was just funny because the rest of his game was like the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, the Liverpool fans...
It was a car crash.
The Liverpool fans on Twitter were all about, yes, I'm going to celebrate this goal, but please don't forget how bad he was. Like, it's kind of an agenda. Like, make sure this does not blind you from the rest.
Lest we forget.
Yeah.
Wearing a poppy for his performance.
For Chan. Wijnaldum played well, or Wijnaldum.
Yeah.
I say it differently.
Wijnaldum.
Or that works too. Yeah. He scores some important goals.
He does. A lot of important goals.
He's been better than Henderson. I give him
that. He's played more games. He's been around for more.
I mean, that is also more useful, though.
Yeah, no, true. But he's also in a more attacking role, so, you know.
They're all pretty equally useful.
Do you think Liverpool will get into the top four this season? Well, I mean, if you say no, who's going to do it? Arsenal over them? Sure.
No.
But, like,
I think they'll
United?
I think they'll just miss out.
I'm asking you who's the fourth spot, because we're pretty sure it's City, Spurs, and Chelsea.
For me, it's Chelsea, City, Spurs, Arsenal, just about.
Yeah? So United and Liverpool, Michel.
Yeah.
Okay. No? Disagree?
No, I'm gonna be stubborn here, and I think United are gonna make that top four.
Like second?
No.
Oh.
Like fourth.
Okay. Everton beat West Brom 3-0. This was good for football.
This was yes and no. I mean, yes, because Pulis lost.
Yes,
fair play.
Yes.
Everyone likes that.
And he didn't score, the bugger.
Right. No, because when Everton win a home game comfortably, everyone tends to go, oh, look how great Everton are. They'll push for the top four.
Ross Barkley's the best midfielder in the league.
Yeah. And the fact is, like, they won't. It's just, this is a game they're expected to win, and they won it, and, like, Koeman is not the messiah. And they played very well. And Schneiderlin scored a goal. That was nice.
Lukaku scored a goal.
Schneiderlin scored a good goal. And Lukaku, as he does, scores. And I just repeated exactly what you said.
Thank you for that input.
I have something to say.
Mm.
I think Schneiderlin scored and Lukaku also scored.
But I believe Lukaku scored two goals.
No,
Schneiderlin scored one goal.
No, it was actually
incorrect.
Yeah. We've taken it too far now.
Yep. Let me break this off with a bit of Martin Keown magic, if I may. He said, Morgan Schneiderlin is the final bit of the jigsaw for Everton. So, presumably, they'll be winning everything.
Yeah, well, the jigsaw is what?
I don't know.
10 pieces for Martin Keown.
Eighth spot?
Yeah, like, what are you talking about? Like, clearly, nearly everyone in that team can be improved upon.
I'm just thinking now of Schneiderlin wheeling in on a tricycle like the Saw movie. Just like saying, I want to play a game.
Schneiderlin, really?
Which is what he was saying at United, basically. I want to play a game.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd see Martin Keown being more of a Saw guy.
Yeah, I mean, Van Nistelrooy definitely thinks so.
He'd be like a vengeful, like, guy on the subway or something, you know?
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
Crazy dude.
Here's the question, right? Mm. If Morgan Schneiderlin is the last piece in the jigsaw, that means that the jigsaw deliberately contains Joel Robles.
Oh yeah.
Or Martin Stecklenburg.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's one of those ones that you can't solve. Because you've lost that one piece.
It's not a jigsaw, mate. It's a Rubik's Cube.
Yes.
Final game of this round. Hull 2, Swansea 1.
Moving on.
Oi.
Oi.
That's Hull, disrespectful.
Hull are going to make it out of the relegation zone.
No, Hull going down.
They've been to Hull and back.
They're going to afloat. They're going to stay afloat.
Swansea, to be fair, have been winning a few games since Bob Bradley left, and we all know that they've shown league-winning form.
Yes,
kind of.
But they're not going down. Hull are going down. Thanks.
I think that's probably true. The Llorente got injured in this game, which is a bit of a thing.
That's why they lost.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, Niasse got a double on loan from Everton.
Yeah. I just want to... Everton bought him for £14.5 million.
That's a lot.
For Everton, it is. And then just, like, never played him. And then loaned him out. In fact, they didn't even just not play him. They stuck him in the reserves. He wasn't even allowed to train with the first team. And then they loaned him out. And he's been quite good at Hull. He's scored, like, a handful of goals. He's shown that he's equally as good, if not better, than bloody Enner Valencia.
He's the best player at Hull.
Some will argue that he found his level.
No, that doesn't make sense. He's playing against the same teams he would play against at Everton.
I know, I said some, not me.
Who?
Other people.
Bring them to me.
I'm shaking my head, but I could be slightly biased right now and win one of those modes, but I just think Hull play some shambolic football, and they deserve to get relegated.
I think Al-Mohammadi kills it on the right. I don't know. I don't like hating on Hull. I think they're going to stay. I think the new guy, whatever his name is, I think he's done.
Marcus Silva.
Yeah. He's done fantastic since the first few games against United in a row that he took over. They looked like they had shape. I think they still lost one or even both those games. I can't remember, or drew one. But they looked really good from the start. He had kind of an idea of what he wants to do. Everybody laughed at Hull for hiring him and the fact that he's not English and he's not, you know, a guy to just pull him out of the relegation.
By everyone, you mean Paul Merson.
Paul Merson.
Like his mates on Sky.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, they're the ones people hear, unfortunately. Sure. And he's proving them wrong, and I think he's doing a great job. These 3 points are invaluable against, you know, a team that is down there with them.
I don't disagree. All I will say is his FA Cup, he won a couple games of the FA Cup, I think. And his Premier League record is not actually that good. But there's only so much he can do with this team. He has made them look a much, much better team, but I'm not sure it's enough to save them.
Right. Well, now jumping a few levels up from Hull, let's talk about the Champions League.
Would Hull have done any worse against Bayern Munich?
I actually don't think so. I think they would have actually put 11 men behind the ball.
Yeah.
First of all,
yeah.
Men.
Yeah.
11 of them.
Yeah.
And they would have lost like 2-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly.
Probably.
Anyways, I mean, at least a Mohammadi or whoever plays left back overall wouldn't have let Robin in on his left foot.
Wow.
You know what? I mean, I was ridiculed when I said that Bayern would win this by a minimum of 4 goals.
To be fair, you did.
Turned out to be a normal scoreline by 8 goals.
Yeah, it was a rugby scoreline 10-2.
Well, let's break this down, because there are two ways to look at this. One is Bayern against Koscielny is 2-1 to Arsenal over 2 legs.
Yes.
Which is mental.
1-1 in the first leg in the first half and 1-0 in the second half. In the
Arsenal.
Second leg.
Yeah.
Was Koscielny missing in both legs?
In the second half of both legs.
Yes.
First one he went off injured, second one he got sent off. And yeah, so in the second halves of both games, 10-0. It's incredible. Like,
how?
Yeah.
Impossible. Like
Sanchez laughing on the bench.
Oh, yeah, that happened. True. Trevi. Yeah. To be fair, anyways.
Petr Cech came out and said he wasn't laughing, he was hurting.
Yeah.
It was like, he was laughing at his pain then. He was very clearly laughing.
He was laughing.
Yeah.
You know who Petr Cech reminds me of?
Who?
Big Omar.
No one knows who that is.
Well, Big Omar does.
Okay, sure.
He reminds me of Postman Pat.
Sure, people know that.
They both got silly hats.
Yeah. Well done. Okay, but...
And they both drop things in the box.
Yes! Well done.
Wow.
Let's put some things into perspective. This game came with a lot of background issues. Arsene Wenger out protests before the game, before the second leg game. You know, huge issues with the club. The idea that, you know, do you guys want to win? Back in whatever, when we moved stadiums, they said that we're doing this so we can, and the irony is they use the statement so we can compete with Bayern Munich. So obviously everyone is sticking to that.
Specifically
Bayern. The likes of Bayern Munich.
Huh.
But they said that they picked that club.
Yes, they included.
Right? Who, you know, beat us 5-1 three times. No, well, 5-1 three times in the past.
Three matches.
What was it you were saying the other day? You went onto YouTube and you looked up Bayern.
I was trying,
there were too many options.
Yeah, there were.
So you got to put the date.
The wrong video is playing. And I'm like, no, this is November 2015.
Yeah. So, anyways, that all happened, blah, blah, blah. And then the game started and Welbeck got sick 10 minutes into the warm-up. Which prompted Arsene Wenger to let go and discard his whole plan that he's been practicing for 2 weeks.
Giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. Okay. Assuming he's been practicing a plan for, you know, it's hard to say, but let's just give him the benefit of the doubt. And he, you know, instead of keeping Sanchez up top and playing, let's say, a Perez out wide, instead of that, he decided to bring on plan B, which is Giroud 10 minutes to go. Shove Sanchez out wide to defend against Robin, which, you know, wasn't a plan clearly for 2 weeks. But that's what happened. And then Koscielny got a red card. And
the wheels come off the bus.
The wheels very much came off the bus. Although it's funny because, so they went a man down and then they conceded all the goals. And Arsene Wenger was asked about it. And a lot of people were saying, well, why didn't you just shut up shop, 10 men behind the ball, see out the game? And he was like, well, at the start of the game, it was 1,000-1. And then when Koscielny got to the red, it was 1,000,000-1. So I just thought, you know, why not go for it? And it's like, because it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. And he seems to forget that the 1,000-1 bit is his doing. Right. For the first, like you didn't just arrive at this moment in time.
How can you go for it and not score any goals?
What do you mean?
He said he was going to go for it.
Yeah.
And they didn't score any goals.
No, but they went for it.
But they went for what? They went the other way.
It's all about the effort.
Yeah.
It's all about the effort.
Which was not there.
Sure. But it's still all about the effort.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, you know, Arsenal lost 10-2, which is embarrassing. It's actually, the 5-1 is the biggest Arsenal loss of the Emirates ever.
I would hate to lose 10-2.
Very good.
Sure.
Would make me 2 tens.
Ah, that took me a sec.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, guys, like, this whole, like, a lot of even Arsenal fans are asking, are Arsenal a big club? And by big club, it's not just, you know, money and fans and blah, blah, blah. It's like in Europe. Like, it's just round of 16 exit for the past 7 seasons.
Yeah.
Barely coming top of your group in the Champions League. Coming third and fourth quite a bit in the Premier League in the past few years. Well, not like recently, but in the past before that. So, question is, do you count as a big European club?
Let's be fair to Arsenal here. The Champions League last 16 draw has been bad to them. It's just been El Diablo to them. I mean, they got, what, Bayern Munich 3 times out of the 7, Barcelona 2 times.
Yeah.
Who else was there? Monaco and...
That's it. Then Bayern again. Point of contention, though, is that from this season,
yes,
all of the other times, it has been because they failed to win their group. And in many cases, they were very winnable groups. They just rotated, rested players, and sacrificed those results.
And the one time you got Monaco and everyone went, yes, this is the season.
Still blew.
Oh, and AC Milan.
AC Milan, yeah. 4 something. Anyways, so, you know, let's move on. Huge issues at the Emirates. Arsene Wenger out playing next game, blah, blah, blah.
Wenger out?
Oh, definitely, 100%.
Let's contrast it with the Camp Nou, where there had been similar tensions recently about Luis Enrique before he announced that he was going.
The right thing to do?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Not comparing it to anything.
No. But standalone.
That, yeah. That did seem to relieve a lot of tension. Let's set the scene, shall we? PSG win the first game, 4-0.
Act 1.
Yep, 4-0.
Destroyed Barcelona.
The three musketeers in the middle, Verratti, Rabiot,
Draxler,
and Matuidi.
Sure, and then on the wing you have Draxler and Di Maria. I mean, what a team.
Yes, excellent. And so, immediately after that, Luis Enrique announced that he was leaving. He then changed the system to 3-4-3 for the next two La Liga games.
Killed it.
Smashed them both like 6-0, 6-1 or whatever. And so Barcelona's form going into this game was immense. Their players were talking up their chances. Luis Enrique said, if they can score 4 against us, we can get 6 against them.
I love that he said 6, knowing very well he will concede 1.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Umtiti. Unbelievable. The two games in La Liga in between, and then this game. He was phenomenal. Also, the heat map of Piqué for this game showed that he was in PSG's half more than his own half, which is insane.
Well, there was an incident, it wasn't even an incident, just a passage of play really early on where Barcelona were popping the ball around the box and PSG had camped within their 18-yard box.
Within the Camp Nou.
Yes.
Just like Lincoln versus Arsenal.
Very much like Lincoln versus Arsenal. And it was like Mascherano was on the edge of their box, joining in, as was one of the, they only had one player back.
Well,
PSG came to the Nou Camp and they were 4 goals ahead. I mean, do you not understand how many goals ahead you are at that point?
Four
goals ahead. And they showed up like they were 1 goal ahead. Yeah, and Barcelona were going to eat them alive.
Yeah, but again...
And Suarez with the ugly, scrappy shit goal in 3 minutes. And from then on, I mean, the own goal, going into halftime, it was 2-0. It was just bad. I mean, PSG gave up.
You're right. They should have come with the intention of scoring a goal. Score a goal, the tie is over. They didn't. I mean, again, when Barcelona score a goal, like when there's that narrative and everybody, but let's say PSG and Madrid fans want in general Barca to go through because of this story, this narrative, right? And when you have that, and then Barca score 3 minutes into the game, you get scared.
And 3 minutes into the second half as well.
Exactly, you get worried. So what happens is now Barca is 3-0 up. But PSG came out in the second half with the right mentality that they should have started the game with, which is get a goal, shut up shop, we'll be done. They did that.
That's the thing. Like, when Barca went 3-0 up, PSG very clearly went, right, shit, we better score here because they're coming for us. So they spent the next 10 minutes attacking. And within that 10 minutes, they had three chances and scored one goal.
Wow.
And it was just like, had you done that a bit more throughout this game, you would have been out of sight.
Let's recap the PSG goal. There was a free kick around the halfway line. It was lumped forward, a knockdown header, and then Cavani kind of just put it into the goal. Because there was no defending.
Right.
Route one football. And then at that point at 3-1, it was like, all right, game's over. Everybody got deflated. The Camp Nou got extremely quiet, as expected, which is fine.
Di Maria taunting the fans.
Yes. Oh, I mean, he's been doing it since the first game about the whole, like, because he lost 5-0, you know, to Madrid, and blah, blah, blah. And then what happened was at the 87th minute, it was still 3-1, and it looked, you know, over. But then Neymar was extremely clutch. He was also man of the match, I feel. Extremely clutch. Got the free kick. Scored that brilliantly. Richey, you argue that Trapp could have done
garbage it. Goalkeeping by Trapp. I don't know what he was doing. He literally just watched it go in and got on his knees. Like,
yeah.
He didn't even dive.
It looked a tad match-fixing, but not quite enough to... I mean, his goalkeeping for the rest of the game kind of...
His nose was red.
Why? Was he a reindeer?
I don't know. He was like, he was about to cry or something.
Right. I mean, obviously. Anyways, 4-1, whatever. 5 minutes to go. Not an impossible ask.
And then Suarez goes down like a bowling ball in the box.
Sure.
When a feather touches his shirt.
Yeah.
I have a question, right? If you're the fifth official, and we're not going to have video technology, you're the fifth official, you're there to spot stuff like this. If you're not going to see this, what are you going to see?
It's UEFA Lona, mate.
So, UEFA Lona happened. Barca got a penalty. Neymar dispatched it. 5-1. And he's now just riling up the Camp Nou. He is raising his arms. He's asking them to get behind the team. He's being the leader of this team.
He's saying stuff like, vamos.
Vamos and stuff. Exactly.
Sergio, vamos.
Sergio. Hey, that's good.
Well, we need the last minute goal.
Yes.
And then, yeah, after that, it just became insane. Ter Stegen was playing in midfield.
That was great.
He got a free kick for them. The game, the Neymar put it in. It came back out to him. He dinked the guy. Took it onto his left. Put it into Sergio Roberto. Trapp was in no man's land, doing absolutely nothing.
Trapp was like someone was flying a kite in front of the goal. That's pretty much what he was.
It's true.
With the wind.
But also, serious questions about the PSG defense. I mean, obviously, questions about the PSG defense. Right?
Questions.
But, like, it's the last minute, and they're still trying to play a high line and like catch Sergio Roberto offside.
Yep.
Just follow him back and head the ball away.
Exactly.
They were just waiting for the final whistle at that point.
Yeah.
And it did come.
Yeah,
it did.
It did, yeah.
That's the thing about the final whistle. It'll always come.
Death taxes on the final whistle.
Okay, so Unai Emery, pretty much good as gone.
Oh my god. I mean, I would hate to be the guy. Like,
he was already under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
The Barca game kind of brought him out of pressure, and now this put him back into a lot more pressure. I think he's pretty much done.
I'm not sure.
First season.
For only two, three reasons. One, first season. Two, the PSG directors, they're not mental. Like, they could have sacked Blanc way before they did, and they didn't. PSG might still win Ligue 1. We'll see. But the other thing is, you can look at this game and you can think Unai Emery did a poor job, or you can look at it and say the players completely bottled it.
Sure.
Verratti afterwards said that their plan wasn't to actually park the bus,
but
they just... kind of went into it.
I mean,
I don't know. I think
it was the players bottling it for sure. There was a pre-game little dinner tweet, or there was a video that came out for PSG players having dinner discussing their tactics.
Horrendously embarrassing.
Yeah. Completely. That should make my move of the week.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get right into move of the week right now, but let's just quickly recap. Real Madrid went through, Juve went through, everybody that should have gone through went through. It's going to be an exciting next round for sure. I mean, do we have
Dortmund.
We still got a few games.
Leicester, Sevilla.
Yeah.
So I think Leicester are going to win that.
Wait, Juve didn't go through yet. What am I saying?
Didn't they?
Did they?
I don't know. Whatever.
You were saying this is dangerous. Sevilla aren't looking good and Leicester are in form.
Yeah, in terms of league form. You know,
it's only 2-1 down.
So much can change in a week.
And Leicester have big Craig Shakey in charge. So
yes.
William Shakespeare.
He's going to shake some things up, innit? Anyway, Moomoo of the Week, let's do it.
Happy Moomoo. One thing we are no sha, Moomoo not fit sleep forever. One day, Moomoo go wake up.
I used to live in Zimbabwe. I watched Robert Mugabe ruin a country, and Wenger's doing the same. He's the Mugabe of Arsenal.
Wow.
The Mugabe of Arsenal.
The Mumugabe.
That's what happens when you get like old football fans who have seen so much and get all philosophical
and have lived in Zimbabwe.
That was
impressive. That was just a random fan, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just the guy off the street, really.
Yeah, the man on the street.
The man on the street.
He'll never be known.
No, true. All right, my Mumu is a Werder Bremen player, Niklas Moisander, who was man-marking Chicharito Hernandez in their game against Leverkusen. And at one point, Hernandez is being substituted. I think it must be in the second half. And he goes off behind the goal.
Right.
And Moisander doesn't know what's going on.
Well, it's a corner kick.
Yeah, I think it is a corner. Yeah. And Moisander doesn't know what's going on, and so he just like follows him off the pitch. And then they have this really cute moment where Hernandez is like, mate, I'm being subbed. And Moisander's like, oh, I didn't realise.
Listen, man, when your coach drills in man marking all week,
yes,
you stick with your man no matter what. If he's getting subbed, you sub off too. You know,
he's done his job, really.
To be fair, he has. It's better than letting him go and then, oops.
Especially letting Chicharito slip by you.
I know, he's dangerous. Fox in the box.
Little Chicho.
Happy Moomoo. One thing we are no sha, Moomoo no fit sleep forever. One day, Moomoo go wake up.
Now to Serie A in Italy, if you didn't know. Yeah. Inter Milan 7, Atalanta, who are like having their best season ever and being brilliant, 1.
Calciopoli, straight up. I mean, this was a freak result.
I mean, this would be pretty bad Calciopoli by Inter Milan. Because they're sitting in like, whatever, 7th.
Well, 4th now. But yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't know goals kind of gave you points.
Yeah, you never know.
It could, it's Calciopoli.
Yeah.
Well, Icardi, hat-trick.
Yes.
Banega. Hat-trick.
Yeah.
Benega's first ever hat-trick, I think, ever in life.
That would make sense.
The two Argentines.
He barely scores, yeah.
But Icardi's been on fire, man.
No, of course.
He's been great.
But what's his wife's name? Wanda.
What?
After the game, right? She took to Twitter, as she is wont to do.
Mm.
And she basically was just like, oh, Icardi's brilliant, isn't he? And he should be in the Argentine national team. I'm paraphrasing, obviously,
yeah.
But, you know. Because he never gets picked for the Argentine team because he's a twat.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah. Anyway, Napoli 3, Crotone 0. Keeps Napoli on the hunt for second spot. Here's the thing.
Keeps the croutons in my salad.
Exactly. 81% possession.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
81?
Yeah. I mean, the bottom three in Italy this season are tremendously bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Insigne, another 2 goals. Mertens, another goal from a penalty. Napoli, just at home against most Serie A teams, they're just killing them.
Right.
Juve, this is the big one. Juve 2, AC Milan 1. Now.
Oh. I mean, I thought for the longest time this would be Juve 1, AC Milan 1.
Well, so yeah.
Calciopoli right here.
Everybody.
Here's a legitimate shout.
Yeah.
Bonaccia scores to open the scoring, obviously. Bacca scores because he's the player on AC Milan that scores.
Yes.
Although it's good assist by Deulofeu, who's...
Oh, he's not playing that bad.
Yeah,
no, he's doing decent.
Like he's being a useful human being.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And then here we are, 96th minute, at home, you know, the Juventus Stadium. They haven't managed to win. In comes a cross. Was it Dani Alves that put it in? Yeah. And,
that's why.
And he's a yard away,
yeah,
if that, from the Milan player. His hand isn't even raised.
Yes.
Ball hits it. There was literally nothing he could have done. I think it was De Cilia. And penalty. Again, the fifth official being totally useless.
What is their point if they... I mean, yes, the problem is we only highlight them when they mess up. I get it. But, like, they mess up way too much.
Well, what else do they do?
I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, they're just mongrels.
Wow.
Wow.
They're supposed to get penalties. They're supposed to see pulls in the box from the corner kicks, from free kicks. That's what they're supposed to do.
Rubbish.
Anyways, it's true. What else happened? Roma beat Palermo 3-0?
Yeah, this was a good, comfortable... Well, I say it was comfortable. It ended up being comfortable, but it was 1-0 for like 70-something minutes.
Well, also, to be fair, Palermo did score, and it was for some reason ruled...
Yeah.
And Chesney really messed that one up, yeah.
I think it got called offside or something, but it wasn't. Anyway, El Shaarawy scored. El Shaarawy.
Okay.
That was a good goal.
Dzeko, obviously, another like tap in or whatever.
And our boy.
Our boy, Bruno Perez. Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Rajan Angolan.
No. Okay. We scouted Bruno Perez, mate, yeah. From.
We did.
From.
Torino.
Torino to Roma, yeah. Yeah. So we got a cut from that transfer, but if anyone is curious, anyways.
Yeah. Not going to tell you how much. But speaking of Palermo, and speaking of Dybala, who put the penalty in for Juve. So Zamperini, the president of Palermo, recently stepped down after years of utter madness and like sacking the manager every 5 months.
Yeah.
But who was it that was... It was Dybala and someone else. Was it Belotti?
Belotti.
Were both at Palermo at the same time as Kyle Lafferty.
Yeah.
What?
Legend.
Who outscored them both. While they were all there. And I just had to dig up this quote from Zamperini on Kyle Lafferty because it cracks me up. So Zamperini said on him, and this was a few years ago, but he said, he is an out-of-control womanizer, an Irishman without rules. He's someone who disappears for a week and goes on the hunt for women in Milan.
Smart.
He has two families with six children. He never trains. He's completely off the rails. On the field, he's a great player because he gave us everything he had and more. In terms of his behaviour, however, he is uncontrollable. My coach told me he cannot sort this player out, so he has to go.
Raw.
What a review.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, to be fair, it's all praise.
It actually is.
It's all praise. All right, let's move on to La Liga. Well, we just talked about PSG-Barca.
Mm.
Barca followed that up with a Luis Enrique type of scoreline by losing to Deportivo 2-1. And this is why a lot of Barca fans were upset with him. I mean, he rested Umtiti, he rested Neymar, and this is what you get, unfortunately.
Didn't you recently find an Umtiti stat?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
I did. It was like the last, 17 games he's played, they've won them all. And like every time he hasn't played, they've drawn or lost. Somehow. Mm.
He's a Koscielny of Barcelona.
Decent shot.
Yeah, decent
shot. Oh, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I mean, he is French too.
They're both French and black.
Wow.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Surely that was clickbait.
Oh, it's clickbait.
And you guys bought.
Sure.
Well, you're rich now.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't see this game. Did you? How bad were Barcelona?
They weren't horrendous, except that Alba has been useless all season.
Mm.
Like, oh, he made a goal line clearance. Though.
Well, but then he also didn't jump for a header, which they scored the winning goal from. But he's been horrendous. I mean, he played them in the back three. So, you know, he played in the back three thinking, you know, I can get away with this.
You can't
stuff.
Do that.
You can't.
Back three.
So he was really bad. And then again, the average player is shown through. The Andre Gomes is that kind of stuff.
The who?
Andre Gomes. Was horrendous again. He just does not look Barca quality. What's his name? The hero from the safe goal against PSG.
Sergio Roberto
looked horrendous down the right. And it just... I don't know, Messi didn't look that interested. Like, it was... Suarez is ineffective when people aren't, like, kind of providing him stuff.
When he's not diving around the box, right?
Do you think emotionally it's tricky to come from that kind of game to this kind of game?
Yes.
Like, from the Champions League midweek?
It is hard to give a toss about Real Zaragoza.
Deportivo.
Yeah, same thing to them, really.
Yeah, I know. Even the Barcelona fans on Twitter were saying, I can't even be mad.
Right.
Like they lost, and like they're all like, I should be mad right now, but I'm still on that high. It's like, I can't.
And they may not be mad, but they should be sad because, honestly, it wasn't even like a thing. Because
they were bad.
They were, but Real Madrid won this weekend. Barcelona and Sevilla didn't. And honestly, this might be it.
Well, Real Madrid had a lot of UEFA Lona in the league, to be fair.
Well, Real Madrid is like a story like, you know, Barcelona can learn from a little bit because... Well, let's not get a little feisty about
that. You're about to get stabbed.
Yeah. But no, Real, they do look quite uninterested in a lot of games this season. Until Ramos shows up and scores a winning header.
He has now like 81 career goals. 81 for a defender. He has like double what Iniesta has.
That's ridiculous.
He has 10 goals this season. Iniesta has only managed 9
ever. How
many
headed goals does he have?
Man, he's incredible.
Well, most of them would be.
It's all just Cruz Ramos.
Yeah. And there were two more in midweek when they beat...
Napoli?
Yeah.
It's insane. It's Ramos is just... The one thing I don't like is the logic of Ramos scores so many last minute goals, therefore he's the best defender ever.
No.
It's not...
No. That's why people thought Vermaelen was good when he wasn't. Obviously that makes no sense. It's just, you know, this is what he does. This is his thing. And the funny thing was, the commentator said the same thing, was that it was like the time in the game where the Real Madrid fans all start calling for Ramos.
That's it.
And then he just does it. He's like Batman or something.
It's insane. But UEFA Lona.
Okay, go on.
For Real Madrid. I mean,
that's
Navas.
Not UEFA Lona.
Sure. Navas should have been
Real UEFA.
Navas should have been gone. Red card, clear. Clear.
He had a bad
day. Yes. But then he made an incredible save, like an absolutely world-class save at the end of the game, even though he kind of... if you're talking about match-fixing,
yeah.
Navas threw the ball into his net.
That was weird.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was some...
He threw the ball into his net.
Yeah. He just threw it into his net.
It was
Where's
very...
Navas from again?
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah,
I wanted to say that.
Ticos.
Felt wrong. Los Ticos, yeah.
Him and Joel Campbell, big mates.
It was pretty bad. There was also a penalty for Betis. There was a lot of random stuff.
But you know what was the worst thing about this game? Was Real Betis' marking. Okay, look, they lose the game from two headers. On the first one, they've got... It's 2-on-2 in the box.
Morata's
there, Ronaldo's there, and two defenders. And the two defenders both mark Morata.
So, yes.
Nah, don't worry. Second best player in the world, in the box. Great, brilliant header of the ball. Just leave him alone. It'll be fine.
Yep.
And then
they
can't
jump as high as him, to be fair.
He stooped. It was a stooping header.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, it was crazy.
And then the second one, Sergio Ramos. It's the last 10 minutes. It's against Real Madrid. Who's coming up from the back? Big Sergio. Don't worry about it, mate. Leave him. Is it zonal? Is it man? Doesn't matter. It's neither.
They could just be appreciating the beauty of that cruise ball into the box.
True. They could be. Let's move on to this side of the pond.
Sure. Or let me run through a couple of results very quickly. Sevilla 1, Leganes 1, which means that Sevilla are basically out of the title race at this point. Granada 0, Atleti 1, they get a standard 1-0 victory. And this one I just wanted to comment on. Espanyol 4, Las Palmas 3, mental game. Now, Las Palmas, I just want to note this for the record, for the future. They've got a centre-back called Mauricio Lemos.
Oh.
He's Uruguayan. He's played for like Rubin Kazan.
Is this your scouting report?
Big-time scouting report.
Wow.
Okay.
Found him on FM. Yeah, like 2 weeks ago, he was sick. I was like, wow, that's incredible. And then here he pops up with two goals.
So did he buy him?
No, I couldn't afford him.
What? Couldn't afford a 21-year-old centre-back from Las Palmas?
He's got a release clause, mate, and it's big.
Mm.
Anyway, remember
Sounds
the name.
Sounds like a euphemism.
Mauricio Lemos.
I'm remembering Jonathan Silva from a few seasons ago.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, Alex loved that guy.
He's back in Argentina now.
Moving on to this side of the pond, where we all gather here.
Yes, here.
It made us sound like geese.
So the MLS season is still fresh. I think they've played a few games now.
Two.
Handful. Yeah, two. To be exact, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And the score for the TFC versus Philadelphia Union match was 2-2.
It was. TFC have not started the season brilliantly.
As I predicted.
You predicted they wouldn't make the playoffs.
Yes.
Which is a different thing, I think.
Yeah, that is quite, yeah.
But, Jozy Altidore was really the only player to come out of this game with much credit. Morrow was good on the left. He's actually scored. TFC went down 1-0, came back to 2-1, and then conceded again.
As usual.
Beta short injury. I don't like wishing injuries on anybody, but if it's going to be anybody on that team...
Why?
I don't like him, remember?
What?
Last season, all I did was hate on Betashur.
Yeah, but why? He's good.
No,
everyone
he's
loved
not.
Him.
No, he's not.
Wow. Everyone loved Betashur.
He's not good enough.
Mate, he's like the best right-back TFC have had in their history.
Doesn't say
which
much
is like the last fair. 7 years.
I agree. It doesn't say that much, but it's still improvement. Anyway, point is, he was injured in the last game, and we pointed out in pre-season, like, if he gets injured, there isn't really anyone who can cover that position. And what Vanny did with this one, it was he put Endo at right wing-back, which just didn't work. At all.
No. Endo's an attacking midfielder.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But they don't have a backup right back. And I thought, well, even Stephen Caldwell told us that if someone was to go there, it would probably be Marky Delgado.
Mm.
But he didn't. He had Marky Delgado on in midfield later on, and Endo was still at right wing back. It just didn't make much sense, and TFC didn't look slick. And Jovinko has been quite bad.
Yeah, end of the day, it's another draw.
Yeah.
So that's 2 points out of two games.
But both away games.
Sure. I mean, look, they keep up this form, they won't get relegated. Everything.
You know what? I'm sure that when they come to BMO Field, they'll win a few games this season.
Is this the first season where they don't get to play like a gazillion away games in a row?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That was always fun.
No, for sure. Anyway, people are freaking out a little bit. I am not at all concerned. Two away games, start of the season, two draws. Doesn't matter, man.
Yeah,
it's all good.
I'm not concerned regardless.
We're going to win the league.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I mean, you said you're not even gonna make the playoffs, and now they're gonna win the league. The Fair Play League?
Yeah, the Fair Play League. Yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
Well, okay, I think that is all we've got time for this week. So we'll wrap it up here. Thank you for listening, thank you for downloading, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.